Bonus time. It is a midweek. Today, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Wednesday podcast. I'm getting it done. Making up for lost time. I got my buddy Kim Smith with me.
Good morning, Gloucester.
My normal co-host. She's been elevated to co-host status because she... Oh. Kim always shows up. It's rare that you miss one.
Yeah.
I don't know the last one that you... Have you missed one lately?
I don't think so.
There you go.
I really enjoy doing this with you.
The intro music is fading out. We have some interesting topics today. The lead is going to be the lead after yesterday.
A long time, it's going to be a lead topic. I mean, it's going to be a big story, I think, because not that many happen in Gloucester, fortunately. Right?
You got it right.
Okay.
We're talking about the Paprika Grill robbery. But not just the robbery, what happened immediately and the day after the robbery, a terrible story turned into an incredibly feel-good story.
Yeah, like Boston Strong in a way.
Yeah. I mean, on a microcosm.
Right, I almost wrote in the post, I almost wrote Gloucester Strong, but I thought, well, I don't want to... But I felt like it.
Right, no, Kate, who doesn't... isn't generally one of these people that gets all mushy about community. It was very mushy yesterday about this. That tells you something about it. But let's back up and talk about the situation. Crazy Carl.
Yes.
Carl of the Carls. Facebook legend. He's probably one of the top five Facebook people in town. Between him, Lil LaGrasso.
Safatia.
The mayor, and I don't know, a couple other people, but definitely he's up there. I had reported, because it was right diagonally across from his house, where former Screw Cooking, we were there when the day before the guy even opened. Emra is the guy's name, Paprika Grill, 185 Washington Street, diagonally across from George's and everything else. Right. I think the original Tony's Variety might have been there, but a long time ago. Anyway, he had opened a couple months ago. Everybody, right when he opened, to rave reviews.
Right. Everything's so fresh.
Very fresh. It's Turkish cuisine and reasonably priced. Take to go and fantastic.
Falafel. My favorite. I mean, I used to say, like, oh, gee, because I used to get all the time when I lived in Boston or whatever, and I'd be like, oh, I really miss having, like, a little falafel sandwich for lunch or whatever, and there you go.
Well, he was, at Monday night, he was robbed by a masked man with a knife, and who made off with the cash register and right around $300 or more in cash. So that was reported by Ray Lamont. I went in there yesterday morning, the day after, to see how he was doing, take a little video to make sure people knew that he was open.
He did a good job.
And Jim Dowd wrote a piece. Craig Kimberly followed up on Jim Dowd's thing. You and I followed up with, we need to support. Let's show our support for this guy and just bury him with business so he can make up that money.
Tom went and picked up dinner last night.
And
I was thinking, maybe I'll go there for lunch again today.
So I got there around 10 o'clock yesterday, posted a video immediately. By like 11:30, the texts started coming in and Facebook messages from people saying there's a line 10 deep there today. Thankful. Audrey's Flowers sent over a nice bouquet from the Gloucester small business community. The outpouring of support for this guy.
Yeah. I hope it keeps up.
It'd be nice to keep
it up for at least a couple weeks, you know.
Oh, yeah. And, you know,
I mean, just go there anyways because it's super delicious. But
I feel like between him and Tacos Lupita, the two, like, kind of small, ethnic, awesome,
tiny little businesses.
Tiny little businesses that add huge to the community. Because without them, there'd be a hole.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, because there's jalapenos, but jalapenos really sit down.
Right.
And it's sort of expensive compared to,
these
small businesses that you could go in and get a full-on lunch for under $10.
Right. And,
really good.
Or to go dinners, which is, I love to do that. You know, I love to cook dinner, but a couple nights a week, it's fun to get to go and have a break and have your own, you know, drink your own wine. Yeah. And I don't know. I just think
I'm going to read from the report from Ray Lamont. This was in the Gloucester Daily Times yesterday.
Okay.
Emra Arslan, owner and chef at Paprika Grill, which opened in December at 185 Washington Street, said he and his girlfriend, Helena, he and his girlfriend, Helena Liu, were working at the Turkish cuisine eatery around 8 p.m. Monday when a man wearing a ski mask came in the front door and confronted Liu. She was the only one up front in the counter area, and I was in the back in the food preparation area, Arslan recounted Tuesday morning. I don't know if he might have thought she was the only one in here, but I came up right away. At first he said, "Give me the money," but then he showed me the knife and I said, "Okay, take the money," Arslan continued. He kept jabbing forward with the knife, Arslan continued. Then he went through the cash drawer, took the money, and escaped. It all happened fast.
It happened so fast. Right?
So that was the story as reported by Ray Lamont in the Gloucester Daily Times on Tuesday.
Have you ever been robbed before?
Not in person. We've been broken into several times down here.
Yeah.
And the worst part about it is it's usually junkies,
yeah,
which I'm guessing that this situation
was
people don't have control over their own,
I've been robbed three times.
It's the worst.
Twice at knife point and once not.
In town?
In Boston. When we lived in Boston, yeah.
I had a girlfriend that was in the South End, was robbed at knife point.
Yeah.
Terrifying for her.
It was terrifying.
I'm sure.
Well, I was, Tom and I, the first time it happened, I was a student at Mass, at the museum school, and was taking public transportation from, Tom and I were newly married, and I had gotten on the subway station at Symphony, which...
That's right where she was. She was St. Bertolf Street was where she...
Right. Well, the reason why people get robbed there so much, the policeman told me afterwards, is because even though I was a student with like 30 cents in my pocket, it's an underground station, but there's no attendant there. So it's a totally, you know, there's no authority figure there. So, and a lot of people have cash because they're buying tickets for the symphonies right there.
Oh, wow.
So they all have, you know, tons of people have cash, whether they're students or not, because they're buying tickets, you know. And so he came up from behind me, put a knife at my neck, and...
That's exactly what happened to her.
And said, "Give me all your money," you know. And and so I'm reaching in my pockets, but I don't want to take all the time up with this. But then I said, "I don't have any money." And then suddenly a train started to come, so he ran off. And the MBTA police said, "It's probably just a junkie looking for cash for his habit." So that was one time. Another time, some teenage girls, but I had the kids in a stroller. Some teenage girls followed me down the Orange Line Park and waved a knife around Olivia.
That'd be enough to make me move out of town.
Well, we didn't decide to move until a bullet went through our front window where Olivia was playing, you know, where she usually played.
Yeah.
And even though we had double panes of glass, we were on the parlor floor level, and a bullet went through and got stuck in the curtains.
Oh, my God.
And that's when we started making plans to...
Well, no, it's fine. So one of my close friends, Robbie Myrack, in our, I don't know, he must have been right around 30, or 28 to 30, and this is the best time of your life, right? You're young and single, and he had a condo in Back Bay on Marlboro Street, and I remember him saying, we're gonna, he met his eventual wife, and I remember them saying, yeah, we're gonna have the kids, we're gonna stay here, and live in the city because there's so much to do, and there's so much. We want our kids to be city babies and this, that, and the other thing, and be exposed to all this culture. Like literally, it was I don't know. It might have been 3 or 4 months later. As soon as she got pregnant or whatever.
Wow.
Poof, they're out to the Concord.
Well, we lasted until Liv was 6 and Alex was 2. So we did it for a long time.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we loved it. It was just hard. It was just very hard for me with 2 kids, trying to have
getting groceries.
And a business. And that was back when there was no grocery. There was only super expensive Star Market at the Prudential. There was no
Now it's Whole Foods, right?
Right.
Yeah, now it's Whole Foods. And oh my Lord, I've been into that Whole Foods. Holy Jesus. Holy Jesus. Yeah, craziness,
yeah,
the prices.
As we were leaving the South End, they just started to build that whole shopping complex with the Stop and Shop and all these Babies R Us. Because, even to get, baby supplies, I had to, take a train out to Newton.
Nowadays, with Amazon Prime,
people just get that stuff
delivered.
Everything's so different now.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, this that was the lead. On any normal podcast, we would have led with the next topic, which was Kim, right here, my partner in crime, being nominated for an Essex Heritage County Trailblazer Award. There's 4 different categories, and Kim was nominated in the Connecting People to Place category. In the show notes of this podcast, I have the link to where you can go vote. But she is in the second category. What a good thing about this is people vote, but it's not one of these things where you have to give up your email address
and all that
right. other stuff to just right. to be able to vote. So that they're really just curating right. email lists.
Right.
This is purely.
It's a
easy to nice vote.
Way. Yeah.
But what an honor. EssexHeritage.org/gala to vote if you don't have the show notes in front of you, to vote for Kim if you'd like in the Connecting People to Place category. There's 4 categories: preserving, preserving or preservation, whatever, you get the point. Connecting people to place is the second category, advancing or educational mission, and the final category is building or growing our future. Very excited, Kim. Great honor.
Thank you. I was really shocked to see my name on the list this morning.
We want to know who nominated
right.
you.
Because I was just going, this would be a good topic. I was reading the paper. I said, this would be a good topic. And I just went on the links and I said, I'll, go through the voting thing to see all the names of all the people, And there was my name in the middle of the list.
That's pretty good. That must have been a big article to list all the people.
Yeah. It wasn't listed in the Daily Times, on the website. Right. This morning when I was thinking about topics, I just thought, I'll just find out more about it. That's all I was trying to do was find out more about it for the podcast. So
Where is this organization? Where are they based at? Essex Heritage?
Essex National Heritage is the full name. So
I want to say that they might. Do they have anything to do with the the Beauport? I feel like I get press releases from them. I want to say that they related in the the Trails and Sales. I think that this is the group that puts on Trails and Sales.
Right. Okay. And listen, I'm reading this from the Gloucester Daily Times. In 1996, the U.S. Congress recognized the national significance of Essex County. Blah, 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 by establishing the Essex National Heritage Area. Essex Heritage is the nonprofit organization that manages the Essex National Heritage Area. By developing programs that enhance, preserve, and encourage recreation, education, conservation, and interpretation projects on Boston's North Shore and the lower Merrimack River Valley. So,
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I don't think it's a very far limb to say that this is the organization that puts on Trails and Sales.
I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think you're right. So if whoever nominated me, thank you. I'm very deeply touched, and we would love to know who you are.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see who you are. Well, you might have been nominated several times because you've built up an enormous fan base. Because you kind of do that was a notification from Weber Grills to like my comment. Not to get off topic, but when it comes to grills, everything else there. Not that this prestigious award is being awarded to you. I had to make note of this Weber Grills. Yeah, sorry.
So it's not really an award. It's 131 people are being recognized, and then out of the 131 people that were nominated in the four groups, and they're mostly organizations. They're big organizations. Yeah. Joey and I were noticing, like Chamber of Commerce, museums. Wonderful, wonderful organizations. And then I think they said they're going to honor four people, especially at the gala.
So you know what's brilliant about this move? So they have 130.
Right. On instant guess.
And it's part of, it's part of this gala. Right. Hold on, I got to click through to the gala. Now that I see this, now it's brilliant. Let me see. Open link in new tab. Okay. I'm going to go to it. Essex Heritage's 20th Anniversary Gala at the PBD Essex Museum, Salem. And yeah. So
now you know more
so
about
if you're
that.
Gonna, so if you're going to... I wonder if they... if they see, if they're really rotten, what they would do is not tell anybody who won ahead of time, so they make everybody buy tickets to the gala.
I think that's...
Is that going to be the move?
Yes, I think that's...
Do they tell? They don't tell the people at the Oscars. So you got to show up. So if you get nominated for an Oscar, you got to show up.
Speaking of which, they're this Sunday.
I know. Yeah. I know. We get a press release from Cape Ann Community Cinema that they do there. They always he always did this like black tie party, party.
Catherine would get a notice about that, right?
Yeah, she is their pimp. She pimps them like no one else. She is Rob Newton's personal pimp.
Now.
She is. She's the pimp. So, like how outrageous of his GoFundMe initiatives,
yes.
Our Catherine, as sweet as she is naive as she is at the forefront of the Cape Ann Community Cinema fund drives. Because he gave it away last year, right? So actually, there must be a new owner because he had that GoFundMe, right?
Right, you write a letter and you...
So it must be someone else that's running it now.
Right, because you paid $100, I think, to, you know, each person, whatever it was.
And you wrote an essay to why you should be the
new owner.
So right. Yeah, so we have to actually, we should ask Catherine who the new owner is. Right. So I'm sure she's in touch and she probably knows.
Oh my gosh,
but anyway, I still kind of would like to watch the Oscars and the all those shows.
Yeah.
The person I may or may not be in a deeply committed, loving relationship with is not a fan of award shows.
Award shows, yeah.
Oh,
dear.
Yeah, but you know what? I think they're always on Hulu the next day, so I could watch. It's not like I couldn't watch them.
And also, you can, since you're not, like, crazy busy, maybe you could watch the recap, like, on CBS the following morning.
Yeah, I always like the pre-show more than the award show, because I like to see what everybody's wearing. Not, like, a very manly thing to admit, but I really do like to see what everybody's wearing and all the, like...
It's fun.
It was best, you know, I really believe it was best, and it can't be duplicated, but Joan Rivers... with that kind of sarcastic thing that she used to do.
She was awesome.
It was great watching it when she was there.
Yeah, I'm excited for it because I've seen Manchester by the Sea, La La Land.
I don't go to the movies like I used to. Yeah, I used to have a... to go all the time.
Is that something to do with your deeply committed, loving relationship?
Not so much. Well, she's not as much of a movie person as I am, but it really is a function of... the children and the big, yeah, and work.
And all different, I mean, they're kind of different age groups too. Like,
yeah, yeah, there's always, there's soccer, but, there's basketball, right, there's football, right, there's something every night of the week. Right. So there's, yeah, it's, you know, it's just life, which is, yeah, fine. And you get older. When I'm your age and the kids are growing up, yeah, a little bit, then I'll be able to go to, you're looking for stuff to do, right?
Right.
Not that you're not
busy.
No,
but well, we always make time for movies, but the, was there a drive-in around here when you were a kid growing,
yeah,
up? Yeah, yeah, there was.
Yeah, I mean,
where was
at the
it?
At the point of my life when the drive-in was still here was pre any serious, yeah, movie, you know. Like, yeah, I think the last kind of movies I think I might have seen there, maybe it was Rocky, the first, like, Rocky, yeah, or something like that.
I think that's, I mean, I have such fond memories of going to the drive-in when I was a little kid that I think that might have started a love of just going to the movies. I don't know why. I mean, it was.
Well, we had the Gloucester Cinema, the first one, which was where the Liquor Locker is now, was. That was a really old school. They had balconies with the gold.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And it got, the last owners really let it run down. The floors ended up being sticky and the gum, and it was kind of like a gross kind of, the popcorn grease wasn't really cleaned up. But that was my, adolescent years.
Wow.
And then my high school years. So that kind of went away. Then high school years, the Middleton drive-in, there was three different screens.
Oh, wow.
and the wow, where they projected was right in the middle, and they would projected in like a, you know, three
like a circular,
perfectly,
almost, really,
yeah, circular thing.
Yeah, wow.
And they had the, you know, the food in the middle, where you could get all the stuff, but it was like a coming of age place where all of, you could kind of underage, yeah, drink there,
right? Or kiss a girl in a car or whatever.
Well, yeah, it was, you know, so high school, like, you know, sophomore, junior, senior year, we would go there, Bishop Fenwick, you know, so everybody, it was a meeting place because it was up in off of 114, so everybody would kind of go there, and it was, I mean, we didn't really watch the movies, we were all, you know. It was great. Yeah. It was great.
Fun.
You know, I mean, great memories.
And now for little kids, though, in Gloucester, we have the Gloucester Cinema.
Gloucester Cinema. Yeah,
I think that, I mean, when you just see the
family. They do a great job there.
Yeah, when you see the families running around and bringing their swimming pools to sit in, you know, it's just the cutest thing. And you think.
What are you talking about, swimming pools?
They bring little blow-up swimming pools.
Are you talking about the summertime harbor, the harbor walk? I was talking about the Gloucester Cinema.
Oh, Gloucester
across
Cinema,
Cape Ann Community Center.
Yeah, we love that. Yeah,
that's an awesome place.
Yeah, that is an awesome place. We go to, if the first choice is to go to a movie is there, we take that over the Liberty Tree Mall or whatever.
I would too.
Just, the guy's so nice.
He's super nice. It's a family thing.
Yeah.
And they're super nice. And the popcorn, Alicia Cox will tell you,
yes,
they have the best movie popcorn because they pop it for the movie. It's not made 2 days in advance.
And I never get popcorn with butter on it, and it's just as good without the butter on it. Yeah,
they use the good seasonings.
Yeah, it's really good.
I like that. Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I misspoke about that. But I also want to say that at the Gloucester,
the Harbor Walk, Wednesday night summer series,
yeah,
is awesome.
It is awesome that, you know, to see kids like that running around, and
that's a grant, right? That's part of the. I think he gets money from the. You know that, I want to say that's part, I think he gets money to do that series.
Who gets money?
Rob Newton runs that.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe it's not Rob Newton. Maybe it's the new person that Rob Newton, because he had that fundraiser, $100, and you could submit your own thing to run the Cape Ann Community Center. Maybe it's that person. Or maybe it is Rob. I don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. So there's that. Yeah, but the Oscars.
Oscars.
I didn't go to many movies this past year, so I don't really have a feel for what's going to win.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have gone to movies.
Okay,
just four categories.
Right.
Lead actor, lead actress, best movie, best director. Go.
I would say La La Land is going to scoop pretty much everything.
Okay, I'm going to put that in.
Because let's see. I think it is I also think Manchester by the Sea, perhaps, for Best Actor. That just seems like a big, huge favorite.
Kim's predictions. I'm writing them down.
I know.
You said, wait. Okay, wait. I asked you for four categories. Wait. Let me back
best
up.
Picture.
So I can type it. Hold on.
Best Picture.
Ah, damn it. Okay. Kim predicts. Okay, you got to start with Best Picture?
Yeah, Best Picture.
Best Picture. You're saying La La Land.
La La Land. Do you know what? La La Land is an old-fashioned name for Hollywood.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. L.A.
Yeah.
I'm not that dumb.
Okay,
Best Picture. Now, best Director.
You know, I can't really say that.
Okay,
know
we won't
that.
We won't put that in.
Okay.
Best
Actor. I would say Casey Affleck is going to get it.
They love when it comes down to these awards, human pain. Like Halle Berry, all the movies that she was in, she won for Monster Ball, right? When she was getting raped and it was just a terrible thing. Actor, you said Casey Affleck.
And I have to see the category. I don't have the categories and the nominees in mind for Best Actress.
Okay, so you're passing on
Actress. Yeah, I'm passing on that. Unless we have time. But I'm not very good at Googling while we're talking on
a
podcast.
No, okay, that's fair. So you're saying Best Picture, La La Land. Is it capital A, capital A? It must be, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, all right, I'll make sure I could make that right.
I think it's just because it's a throwback to old Hollywood.
And they
musicals.
Love that. The voters love that.
Right, and also, but it's done in a very fresh way, and the music is beautiful. I mean, the score might win for best score, and also the way it was filmed was extraordinary. They used real film. They did not use, it's not digitally done. So, for example, like when they're doing this beautiful scene where the sun is setting in the background, and they're sort of a little bit in silhouette, but they're dancing along this road. And that was like the crew was there for like 12 hours waiting for this, the 5 minutes
of perfect light.
Yep. So everything was done on location, not post-production.
So you're saying that they're going to get best cinematography as well?
Yes.
You're going with that?
Yes, I would definitely go with that.
That's fantastic. Jeez, I just had a thought. Okay, so that's the Oscars this weekend.
Yeah, and we can talk more about it because when we do the podcast Sunday morning, it will Oscars will be playing that night, and
more predictions.
We'll have more predictions.
So stay tuned.
Yeah, let's see that.
What I was going to say was what I found interesting of a movie that I saw, and I don't know if it came out last year or this year. I think it might have been last year. The Great Gatsby. I saw her on Netflix or Hulu,
with Leonardo DiCaprio. You saw that one? Yeah.
What I found interesting was the music. A lot of the music they had was like rappers.
Yes.
Fresh kind of like rap music to The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, I thought it really
very
worked.
Interesting.
Yeah,
made it very interesting and fresh for me.
Yeah, I loved that aspect.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, it is. Did you know what, have you seen The Great Gatsby with Robert? Did you ever see it with...
No.
Okay, so I had seen that, just like happened to glance, see it because I was going through the channels just like a year ago. Mm-hmm. So then when I watched The Great Gatsby recently, it was so... Because I had the other one still fresh in my mind, so it was so interesting to draw a comparison from the two movies, done the same book done 30 years, 20 years later or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was just very interesting. But I love the new Great Gatsby. I mean, the newer one. I think it was done in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was beautiful, beautifully done.
Okay.
Very, very interesting.
There you go.
And who did, Will You Still Love, who sang that song, Will You Still Love Me When I'm Young and Beautiful? That was one of the theme songs in it. She's a current, I can't remember her name. Liv's a big, huge fan of her.
Is she one of the top five artists right now? Female artists? Or would be
top
more?
10.
Yeah,
she's really...
Anyway, Sunday you'll have more predictions. Don't go all the way down the line.
No.
I want six categories.
Okay, let's do six categories. And after reviewing all the people, then I might change my prediction, but we'll see.
I think this is what I'm going to do. I think what I'm going to do is, based off of my cynical point of view, Oh. I'm going to go down the list and just vote based on how I think right. the voters vote. If Meryl Streep is in for any of the categories, right. that I'm going to say that she's going to win for female. Okay. Based on what it is. And okay, there's also, what was it, 2 years ago, there was the big outcry because there was no black nominated people. Then the next year, they always put, like, five black acts in the thing. Right. Point of view. It's always, like, reacting to something that's...
Yes, you're right. That does happen.
So we get that. So we got a press release this morning that... wildlife biologist and coyote expert Jonathan Way to speak at Salem State Tuesday, February 28th. So we put the link up. So he's going to be giving a speech right now. I don't know that there is for on a local level that you could have a better kind of angle than being a coyote expert, because everybody's that's at the top of everybody's thing. Coyote. So if you call yourself a coyote expert, I'm sure you could give a lot of speeches.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Which is great. Right.
He has a
for-profit website.
Right.
And it is called, I'm going to put a link to it.
And did you check that it was for-profit? He used to sell stuff on it.
He promotes his book. So,
is he still selling
stuff? Okay, I'm
going to
tell you
it?
This. So this is how it goes. Okay. The website is Eastern Coyote / Coy Wolf Research. And in the very first page of the homepage, it says, please, to learn how the Eastern Coyote is really a hybrid between Western coyotes and wolves, I do not believe it is accurate to call them coyotes when their DNA through Northeastern North America is comprised of Western coyote, Eastern wolf, gray wolf, and dog genes. So he's all in on the coy wolf thing. He also says that...
He's been advocating to call it for coy wolf for a long time.
Right. So he goes, please note that I am very busy between working and conducting research related to this webpage. Thus, I simply do not have the capacity to help students with reports, although this is a very important topic, or to answer your every question about coyotes and coy wolves. The reason why I have written Suburban Howls and made this webpage available is for you to obtain accurate information on my favorite animal to use accordingly. So you can buy his book.
Okay. Right.
It's always about the book.
Right.
What was the other one where the guy... What was the other thing where the guy had that it all came down to the book? There was another thing.
Hmm.
Oh, we were talking about this. It was a couple years ago, but like, oh, it was the guy with the fluoride, the fluoride export. I'm not saying that this guy should be discredited at all, but all I'm saying is, do you remember the fluoride guy?
Yes. Yes.
And he had all the had this conversation about papers, and the guy cited the papers. And our conversation was, whenever someone cites a lot of papers
it's always from one person.
It's always like they cite the papers. There could be an equivalent amount of papers in the opposite direction, but they go to these papers that support their hypotheses.
Right.
And this is not to disparage this guy. All I'm saying is the fluoride people were psychotic.
Right, because like whenever I dare
anti-fluoride people.
Whenever I dare to write that it's a coyote or not a coy wolf, but a coyote, and it's just, you know, because as we've talked about this before, you can go to Georgia and you'll have a coyote that has like 2% wolf DNA in it and 30% dog DNA in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. But whenever I write that, somebody invariably sends me a Jonathan Way paper as proof that it's a coyote. It's a coy wolf.
Well, and getting that term coy wolf, as we have found out, there's a lot to
there's a lot
for the coyote lovers. And we're not coyote haters,
right,
by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But for the coyote lovers and the wolf lovers, to, if they can create an image that there is a large percentage that is wolf,
right,
then it helps in the...
It becomes an endangered species.
And a protected species.
A protected species.
Whereas right now, a hunter can shoot a coyote.
Right.
If they become protected, they cannot be shot.
They cannot. Right.
So, for... I'm not saying... Where I stand is, I say that we live among them.
Yeah.
They don't seem to be, you know, predatory unless you leave a small dog on a leash.
Right.
Or you let your cat out roaming around.
You have bird food that's making a mess, that's bringing small mammals, that brings them
into
they're
going to eat that
stuff.
Right. But as a human, if you wave your arms around, the coyote isn't trying to attack you. In my personal experience, and we have personal experience now.
Right.
It's been like 6 years now we've been living...
Right.
10 years now that coyotes we've seen coyotes in our neighborhoods, and every time they see you, they go the opposite direction.
And that's happened at the two face to face coyote encounters that I've had when I've made myself big and large and waved and screamed and yelled and waved at them, they go away. So
and you kind of in the when was it Cosmo that got attacked originally?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
At that point your stance was a little different, wasn't it?
Yes,
you've definitely changed your stance a little bit.
We had lost another cat as well, so we were very careful about Cosmo. But he's still a cat and can run out the door, whatever. And yes, because I see that. I mean, from everything that we've talked about and everything.
So explain your stance, say, 5 years ago, and how it's changed.
How it's evolved is that. That I realize that it's a creature that we have to live with. Like for back then, I never advocated for, you know, hunting them all down and exterminating them. It was just really shocking to live in a small neighborhood, you know, to live in a, you know, somewhat urban area where the houses are really close together, and to have a wild animal, you know,
roaming the streets. I mean, we see there's people like downtown in more densely populated than East Gloucester that there's coyotes roaming.
And also, you know, I know they kill people's chickens and other people's pets and things like that, and that is, you know, I still find that troubling because we still are like a civilized, you know. I'm choosing not to live on a ranch in Wyoming where, you know what I mean, where that would just be normal, you know what I mean, like a normal everyday thing. But today I feel like I don't necessarily believe the theory that if we removed them, then more would just move in. I mean, that even more would move in. You know what I mean? I think if you remove some of them, it would take a couple years for the niche to refill.
Paul Morrison subscribes to that theory that if you kill a couple, that they go into hyperdrive, sex drive to create more.
Yeah, that is, you know, I would like to see more
evidence of that. I don't know how you prove that.
You know what? There's so much. The more I read and the more I learn, the more I see unfactual information presented as fact, and it's pervasive.
There's so much is perspective because the people that are at Wolf Howl, total respect for them.
Yeah.
But when you go to in there, they wouldn't. It was as if a wild animal never has done anything wrong ever, and it's. And they're good people, and they're well intentioned people and stuff. But then you have the hunter people that want to shoot everything,
right?
You know, there's extremes, but what's in people's minds from what they grew up with, that is how they form, and that's what they choose to pick the evidence to back up these different theories based on what they kind of grew up with,
and then they close their mind
to everything else.
Right.
Yeah,
I see this all the time. Like even for example, like this. Speaking of coyotes, I'm reading a recent novel by a local author. And they're talking about the novel is set in 1927, and they're talking about the coyotes that were on Cape Ann in 1927. Well, there were no coyotes on Cape Ann. This is a novel.
Oh, a novel, yes.
Right, so they fictionalized this myth.
Right.
So, anyways, there were other unfactual things, you know, about wildlife and nature, and it's really throwing me off when I'm reading the book because I'm really focusing on all this unfactual information.
Right.
But anyway,
so that's like the person that, like, when you're watching a science fiction movie, and they can't wrap their mind around the person like has superpowers, and so it ruins the movie for them. Like, come on, because I know a lot, you know, some people that are like that. You know what I mean? Like. And they have to make the comment, like, that person couldn't fly. Right. Superman can't fly. This is a stupid movie. Right. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Jesus, let yourself go a little bit. But, yeah.
But I see this all the time as and I'll bring up one other thing. Like, okay, now with swans. So there's a lot of people who think swans are just the most invasive species, just a terrible, you know, burden to our ecosystem. And it gets repeated over and over and over again about how they ruin pond ecosystems because and they prevent other species of birds from eating and things like that. Well, from my own experience,
I've seen videos of yours where the swan is kind of swimming and there's ducks all over. There's three different types of birds, like within 2 feet of them.
And the swan is pulling up vegetation. It's not pulling it up by the roots. You don't see roots hanging off the vegetation. You see the swan pulling it up. The swan takes some bites, and all the other ducks are feeding all around it. So wherever I go, I see these signs. Swans are an invasive species, which gives then wildlife experts permission to addle the eggs, which is happening everywhere around here. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
They addle the eggs. So they addle the eggs, and
which means break them.
They shake the what they addle the eggs means they shake the eggs. So
to break the yolks.
Yeah, and that way then the bird keeps sitting, because if they took the eggs away, then the bird would lay new eggs. Ah. By addling the eggs, they encourage the bird to sit on the nest that's never going to
realize
come.
That
it's never going to come to fruition. Yeah, it seems. I think it's really cruel, but however, in certain areas. Like south of us, there are problems with swans. They, you know, there might be several hundred in a pond. Where around here, we can barely keep one pair alive between the snapping turtles and the coyotes.
Well, about 6 years ago, there was about 8 swans.
Yes, there was a beautiful
bouncing
big family.
Around.
Yeah, and I haven't seen that for a while.
I don't want to misquote you, but a couple of weeks ago, did you say that you thought that there was someone that was killing them? Or
No, I don't think so. I haven't seen Mr. Swan for about a week. I'm a little worried about him, but I hope that's not the case. I hope nobody else told you that.
No.
Okay. No. So anyway, so you know, I wish that people would put that into perspective. That in this area. We're not having a swan problem. We are having a goose problem, though, for example. And one reason why we have so many geese, all the Canadian geese.
More and more every year, yeah.
So the whole U.S. Fish and Wildlife department that protects all these wildlife sanctuaries along the Atlantic Flyway in the 1940s, they noticed fewer and fewer American black ducks and Canadian geese. So they planted ryegrass in all up and down the East Coast. They planted ryegrass, which is what Canadian geese love.
Mm.
So that built up this huge Canadian geese problem and population until now it's problematic and people are like...
Why are they problematic?
There's just so many, like hundreds will descend on a golf course or, you know, in a park, poop all over it, you know what I mean? It's causing, in some communities, it's causing problems. We have so much waterfront, we have so much area around here, it's not a problem around here.
Well, it's
here.
Funny, but I saw that one time I got to witness in the fog on the back shore, I was coming down Moreland Road, so I was kind of like facing
the water.
Facing the water.
Yeah.
And it was so foggy that they must have been just hugging the coastline. Oh. But I could just see, there was like one after another, all in a row. And it what seemed like for like 5 minutes, they just kept coming and coming and coming, one behind the other.
Wow, that must have been beautiful.
It was pretty wild because you could just see the silhouette of them because it was a migration south, you know.
Right. Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
But, that's wild.
So anyway, so fiction is fact is, you know.
It's so difficult to like, you know, you have to, people have to think for themselves, but like it's hard to, I guess the challenge is separating the wheat from the chaff or whatever, or like, you know, trying to take yourself apart from what your preconceived notions are and to.
Okay, well, I'll tell you another example. Like, so I was talking to this biologist and she was saying that, they introduced a beetle onto Parker River to kill all the loosestrife. Oh, so the beetle sucks all the juice out of the loosestrife. And I said,
what's loosestrife?
It's a very pretty purple plant and it's very invasive. It's like Phragmites.
Okay.
So they took out all the loosestrife, but what grew in its place was Phragmites.
Oh, yeah.
And now the loosestrife, they're thinking about having it come, you know, now the loosestrife is starting to come back. So the woman said to me, oh, well, we're going to probably reintroduce the beetle to the area. And I said, well, aren't you afraid of creating a super beetle? And she said, because she said they don't survive the winter. She said, only a few do. And I said, well, then that would... I said, a few years of a few super beetles that survived the winter would soon make a beetle population that
all I know lived. Is those damn beetles. I had that gorgeous, the tree, Kwanzaa cherry tree.
You're talking about the Japanese beetle.
Those fucking things.
I know, they're terrible.
They're terrible. Yes, and they're, but I don't understand how she says they don't survive the winter, because they would go in, the larva would go into the ground right at the base.
Right, that's
and
a
then
different,
every,
the, that's a they, different beetle. That's a totally
it's a beetle.
It's a totally different beetle.
But it would survive the winter because every spring, my cherry, oh my God, this beautiful cherry, look at the blossoms, it's gorgeous. Fucking overnight, they chew the shit out of it.
Well, you know how to get rid of Japanese beetles. You see one or two, and that's, you get rid of the first few. You have to kind of be on top of it. You get rid of, because you know what? You know how shiny they're,
they attract the elements.
The iridescence attracts other beetles. So they say, it flashes, it says, come join me. So
the other thing people said was to put orange slices, hang them on the trees so that the birds would come and eat them.
Oh, that's a very good idea. I love that idea. That's an excellent idea.
Back when I had a Kwanzaa cherry tree. I love that damn tree. And I couldn't get it to, like, literally, I planted it, and, like, I lived in that house for 10 years.
Yeah.
And, literally, like, the stem never got big because.
Well, and also, they're very susceptible to winter moth. So, probably between the Japanese beetle and the winter moth, it wasn't.
Speaking of species making comebacks, we got, and you reported on this, Morgan Fields Pike, the woman who sculpted the Fisherman's Wives Memorial on the boulevard, sent in a photo of more bald eagles. Yes. It may be the same bald eagles, but she sent in some photos.
Right. And that's awesome.
And you posted it right behind O'Malley School.
Yes.
Is it where that little pond is there, mm-hmm. that saltwater pond.
Mm-hmm.
That pond was restored, the mill pond, right?
Yes, I think it was restored by, I forget the group.
Was it the people that
Eric Hutchins. Eric Hutchins from NOAA might have done it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But anyways, they, that's very exciting.
Mm.
And she said it was around 4 o'clock. Which is the time that I saw of day that I think I saw one on flying around 10 Pound Island, but it was so far, and that was last year, but it was so far away, I don't know. But I'm going to start going looking for them, because if they're that close, you know what I mean.
You got that big lens.
Yeah, it's not that big. It's not like when I'm filming at Parker River. You should see what people have. Oh my God!
Oh, I know. I've seen them at the when I go to the Corkscrew site. Swamp Sanctuary in Naples.
Right.
There's like people that go there on a daily basis, and they have to weigh 30 pounds,
right.
These lenses.
And they're this long.
On tripods.
They're like 4 feet long and this big round. And it's kind of weird when they're at Parker River, because sometimes they stand like right in the middle of the path, and they make everybody else go around them.
Well, they want everybody to notice their camera. A lot of it has to do with, check me out, I got this awesome lens,
right.
I'm the man.
If you're in a tiny little wooded, if you're in a little wooded area and the bird is like 10 feet away, it's through the trees, you don't need a lens like that. Maybe that's fine for if the snowy owl is all the way across the marsh, but when you're in this little tiny space, you a big lens like that gets in the way, really, you know, yeah. Anyway, so, but it's very exciting, I think, about the bald.
I know, we got another species to talk about now. Yeah, very cool. Thank you for sending that in. But despite you saying that you don't have a big, long lens or anything, compared to an iPhone photo,
oh, yes.
I'm sure it's going to be...
Well, right. It's a four. It goes from 100. It goes from 80 to 400 millimeters.
There you go.
But it has a very good crop factor. Mm. So that is also very
helpful.
Oh,
I'm sure you'd nail it. We have a couple more things to talk about. Last week when I got confirmation, I invited a friend of the blog, longtime friend of the blog, to participate and be an official contributor on the blog. I didn't hear from him for a week, and I was like, wow, maybe he's not into it. Maybe he doesn't want to do it. I was a little hurt. But I mentioned to you, I'm like, if we could get, I called you up on the phone, and I says, I have some exciting news. I invited this person to be a contributor. I think he's going to be a contributor. And I think, like, out of everyone, I think this person would be, like, maybe the number one person that we could get that, like, fits into the niche of what we like to do here.
Right.
Because he's so talented and so great, and we think the world of him. And I gave you guesses.
Right. And I couldn't.
And the first guess you guessed
was
not correct, but was a great guess.
Yeah.
Rick Dowsett.
Yeah.
Was your first guess.
Yeah, because you're such good friends with him, and
he's part of the homie cast.
Right, and he's very personable, and
he's involved.
And he's very involved in the community.
Yeah. And which he would be a great contributor. Yeah. Absolute great contributor.
Have you asked him?
Talk about that or not. So, then you gave up.
Yeah.
You were busy at the time, in fairness. You probably would have got this with a couple more hints.
Yeah.
You didn't get it.
Yeah, I asked you to give me another hint.
And I'm like, well, you can ask a question, but I'm not going to give you a hint. We played this little game for about 2 minutes. We played this game. Anyway, you didn't guess.
Nope.
But because it really was because you would have got it. I think you would have got it. If I would have gave you like a hint, you would have got it.
Right. And also, I just think the world of this person. So.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah. So
he is the best.
I'm very, very happy.
Love this guy. John McElhenney has accepted an invitation to be a Good Morning Gloucester contributor. Now, he's not, between three children and a job.
A full-time job.
He is not going to have a daily slot like you or Nicole or Bridget or Marty or Catherine. Who else has a daily slot? Oh, Donna. Definitely Donna.
Marty,
awesome.
Marty
Luster.
Yeah.
Or myself. He was, the reason that he didn't get back to me right away was he was reluctant because he didn't want to let me down as far as thinking that he had to be held to a certain time slot because with all his other responsibilities.
Right.
And I said to him, I says, John, I says, what this thing is about is not about creating stress for yourself.
Right.
This is about, like, we get so much back from this community involvement and learning and friendships and everything else. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't want you to do it if you felt like it was going to be a chore.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, that makes me feel so great. You know, I go, you when you have something to say, instead of, posting it to your, small, whatever you have, he may have a big Facebook following, but like to that audience, he's a great writer.
Right.
You know, rather than just post it there, and it's really community-minded things that he writes, I says, just share them on a much bigger platform.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, this is great. So we are so honored and so happy to have John McElhenney. Such a great guy.
I love the way he writes, and I love his perspectives.
So. You know, I love John on so many different levels. He's just a solid, great guy. He is so self-deprecating all the time, which is, everybody needs to have a humility like he has. But he is one of the funniest people
I
know.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Like, I'm looking forward to his sense of humor.
Just hanging out with him is, like, you know, he's one of probably the top six people in the world that if I could choose to spend, you know, a night out drinking with, John McElhenney would be a top six guy.
Well, the two of you together are pretty funny, too.
I love him being around. So I'm so excited for that.
That's a big excite. That's super big.
Good news. Great news. Thank you, John.
When does he start?
Well, he was having trouble logging in, so he's waiting. He's got a new job. He's gonna get. He had a WordPress account from one of his, and it went to his old, to this email address that he was trying to use, and he doesn't have access to that email account anymore. So it wasn't letting him log in. So his new job, he's gonna have an email address. No one needs to really understand all that, but like he's gonna, once he gets able to accept the invitation, so that he can post. So there's that. We're gonna save a couple of the other topics because we're right around an hour right now, and we're gonna be back on Sunday with the people from the good. Did we talk about this?
No, we haven't.
Oh, we haven't talked. Okay, tune in. So tune into this podcast, or you're already listening, but. On Sunday's podcast, we the people from the Gloucester Marine Genomics Institute are going to be coming in to speak
really
about
exciting.
That and the big grant that they just got.
Yes.
Huge. Not a big grant, a ginormous grant.
A huge
multi-million dollar grant. I mean, that's an infusion of serious infusion.
It's just incredible. It's an incredible story.
So there you go, Gloucester Cast 219. Next one's gonna be 220.
Wow.
Is in the books. Thanks for coming, buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
Love our time together.
Yeah, me too.